The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 28th of October, 2020. On the podcast today, Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare, SP Angel, discusses COVID testing stocks, including Novacyt. And we talk about this because, of course, Boots have released their own testing kit worth £120. We also discuss Cambridge Cognition, COG, sticker there, and John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about Alta Strategies, Empire Metals, Chariot Gold, and Kaz Minerals. We also talk about the economy, the bearish feel to the markets at the moment. And at the end of the podcast, of course, as always, I highlight two lists for you. That is the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see lots of other content. In fact, there's an i3 Energy article there. There's a video, a must-watch Vox exclusive Capital Markets Summit. There's Alba Minerals, Resources appoints Mark Austin, the COO, podcast videos, all that, and of course our COVID-19 index. What is the biggest rise today? That is Tech Capital, up 7.5%, 10.75. Biggest fall of the day, Omega Diagnostics, down 16%, pretty much to 78 pence. Check that out, voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm good. Do you know what? Actually, before we start, we've talked about Novacyt quite a bit, and of course, this is the king of the testing stocks, the COVID testing, because they are actually generating real value there in revenue. I don't know if you saw that thing come out from Boots. Boots are now selling these testing kits, £120. And I looked into it, and I thought it was going to be a listed company, but it's not. It just shows to me that there's so many companies doing this now. And unless you've got your head up front there, unless you've got some big contracts already, then the market is slowly being, you know, cut up like a pie, isn't it? People are taking big chunks of the market because I knew there was, in fact, I don't know if it's, you know, it moved in relation to this, but there's a couple of COVID testing stocks that have dipped. Even Novacyt has dipped since that news came out. So it just shows you how, you know, when there's a big market like this, when there's a lot of potential, because that's a big deal with Boots, you know, the biggest chemist in the country. That's a big deal. Getting a contract with those is a big deal. So there's just, it's becoming more competitive, isn't it, this area, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so on that contract, I'm glad you brought that up because it's interesting. If you were to imagine paying that much per patient in an NHS context, you know, you'd quickly run up a big bill.
Was it 120 quid? We're looking at 120 quid. I think was it
120 quid. Yeah. So you know, this is in terms of comparing it, say, to the tests that the government's paying for you know, Novacyt's test. You know, we're looking at an order of magnitude more, right? Yeah. So. Yeah, you're right. In the private context, you know, I think Scotland has ordered some too. So there is room for competition. Definitely, there's a lot of different outlets like Boots, you know, that see a commercial model here. And indeed, there is one. But you cannot imagine a state rolling out tests at this cost. It would be way too expensive.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I bet people are nervous, thinking, why couldn't we get the Boots contract, selling our tests 120 quid? In fact, the guy, a lot of people said, wow, that is expensive. And also, it's for like, it's odd, really, because they have to say it, but they said it's for asymptomatic people. And I thought, well, really? Why would asymptomatic people actually get a test? Because obviously you can't just walk into a store. If you've got symptoms, they're saying don't come walking into a store. So, it's very odd.
How does that work? Exactly.
I know. if you're asymptomatic, why would you want to test yourself? Why would you spend 120 quid anyway? It's like, I wouldn't do that. You know, if I had no symptoms, I was feeling fine, I wouldn't go. So I'll spend 120 quid on a test. What's the point of doing that? It's pointless. Cool. All right.
It's an interesting, like, it's you're right, it's a new avenue for a specific provider, but it's certainly not costed for mass testing, that's for sure, right now, not right now.
Yeah. Cool. All right, listen, now, you want to talk about Cambridge Conditions? It's a company I've sort of missed, but I still like, and I am watching it, but I saw they did an investor presentation recently, which I didn't, I should have logged into that and done it there, but I didn't do it. But the share price has done really well. I mean, if you look at the chart, it's a classic here. We've gone down, literally, it's sold off, they're going back, a big gap down on the 27th of August 2019. It's bounced on the bottom like that for a while. Then in February 2020, went down again. But then it started to motor back up. And it crossed the 200-day moving average at 26 pence pretty much in June of this year. And it's starting to motor now. And it's pretty much doubled to 53 pence. And all the moving averages are moving upwards as well, which suggests is that the new trend here happening. So it's looking good. But first of all, Cambridge Cognition, COG, is ticker COG. Just explain, if you could, Vadim, top line, what they do.
Yeah, so basically they're in the area of measuring cognition in terms of, for example, their clients are all the major pharmaceutical companies. They help them in their clinical trials, specifically in the case of, you know, measuring the impact of certain medications that are in clinical trials. So they help. And this is specifically in the area of brain, assessing cognition in the brain. So these are, you know, targeted therapies at various brain indications. So what they do is they help with the measurement of how brain function, how these potential drugs impact brain function. Specifically, what you're looking to measure is cognition. And their services, their suite of services help pharmaceutical companies assess that.
And do they have, you know, I always look for something, you know, a company that's got a bit of IP there, something, you know, that's, because essentially that's what Warren Buffett calls a moat. It ensures maybe the margins are bigger. There's a barrier to entry for the companies. Do they have any IP?
Well, so basically their service provision is very highly skilled, if you like. Yeah. They do have IP, but I mean, this is really a services-based business.
Okay.
But there is, I mean, they have what's known as electronic clinical outcomes assessment software. So they definitely do have IP. It's a combination of both the software sales, okay, and the services around them, because every single trial is bespoke, right? So every project they have, it has to be catered to the specific needs of that project. Yeah. So it's really a combination of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, marvelous stuff. Cool. Okay, so what do you want to talk about? I saw the last bit of news. They just landed a contract for $750,000. And what's their market cap? It's about 16, is it? 17? What is it?
Exactly. So you know, we've talked about this company in the past. I'm a holder of this company. I like it a lot. I've always kind of been supportive of it. It's had a good rally. It was up from its lows. Why I like it in particular is just it's good value. That's the way I see it. In that, you know, this isn't one that's going to be, well, it could be, you never know down the line. But, you know, in the next 2-3 years, I don't see it being a, you know, $300 million market cap business or anything like that, unless it grew by acquisition and, you know, maybe became more of an IP play. But right now, it's just, in my opinion, undervalued. It was at, you know, 20, 30 P. It's currently about 50, 55 P. It's doing about 6 million on a current run rate. If you extrapolated the run rate of the first half to the second half, probably going to do a bit better in the second half. I hope to see. In fact, I think they will. You're looking at a market cap of 16 million on revenues of about six or seven. What I think is going to happen, and this is what I'm hoping to see, and there's been some announcements to that effect, is that they're landing bigger and bigger contracts, and that revenue just stacks up on top. Their order book is stronger than it's been in a long time. Yeah. They're announcing these big contracts, and I just see that the multiple, the revenue, they're breaking into profitability. The revenue multiple here doesn't really stack up when compared to other peers. That was my base case kind of view of this company. It was compared to its peers, you know, on AIM, it's undervalued. You know, we've seen big rallies in other healthcare stocks. Admittedly, you know, maybe more on the drug development side, but more, you know, why I'm highlighting it is because it kind of is an outlier where it's delivering, and yet it hasn't really re-rated massively yet. Okay, and I think it has the potential to re-rate, you know, multiples of where it is today. You know, never, like I said, I don't expect this to be a 500 to 500 million market cap business, but I can see it being, you know, a 40 to 50 million market cap business, and that is quite a big rally from the 16 million where it's at today. Okay,
yeah.
But why? why am I highlighting it today in particular is because one of its peers in Australia, very much in the same area, a company called Cogstate, okay, C-O-G State, S-T-A-T-E, it's listed on the ASX. It struck an agreement just yesterday with a Japanese company, which is a Japanese pharma business called Eisai. So this company is a well-known pharma company. And it's a pretty hefty agreement. It had a $15 million Australian dollar, I think, or I don't know if it was. It's a $15 million upfront payment and some pretty nice tiered milestones, as in royalty payments for further growth. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show, it kind of validates, it's exactly in the same area, in this area of electronic, cognitive outcomes assessment. They have different, slightly different service offerings. But my main point is that you're seeing bigger and bigger contracts being rolled out for Cambridge Cognition. You're seeing a peer that just struck a pretty hefty agreement. And that peer it's probably doing twice as much in revenues, maybe a bit less or, roughly twice. And I think its market cap, it's gone up by 50% on this agreement. And its market cap is probably about 150 million Australian dollars, so 75 million sterling market cap. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we talking about here? You know, we're sitting here at 16 million market cap. So it doubles down on my point that I think Cambridge Cognition is undervalued. And here's yet another data point that's just come out that's shown a peer that has struck a pretty big agreement and that's valued at substantially higher on not that much more in revenues. What I mean?
So
I can see the upside here. It's just, it's kind of crystallizing my point that I think Cambridge Cognition is undervalued.
Absolutely. It's very interesting. And even now, they're sort of holding their own, like I say, in their interims. You know, revenue's up like 39% to 3 mil. They've reduced a small little loss. They're cash there, reducing expenses as well by 18%. So it's not like they're burning lots, is there? So, it's could do quite well here. It's always an area of interest as well, any kind of health tech or in that area. Course. It takes one bit of news and it can re-rate, can't it,
Well, this is it. I mean, the reason, this one... So look, okay, potential downsides is, here where I see downsides in this company is the contracts all stop. Things aren't working. They profit warn because they don't get as much revenues as they expected. That's the type of downside here, but they're not business destroying downsides. Like the balance of risk in terms of, first of all, now the momentum is completely in the other direction, right? So I'm just trying to highlight where the risks are here. The risks are, this isn't a company that would have a trial result where it goes bust if the trial goes wrong. Mm-hmm. This is more of a trading business that's doing okay now and going from strength to strength. And its momentum is on the upside rather than on the downside. But if someone had to look at a catastrophic view of downside, well, what could happen? Well, they could profit warn, and that would be, that would impact the shares, but it wouldn't be terminal for the business. So that's, I'm trying to, just set the record straight on where the risk is here. It's not a massive business destroying risk like you have in drug development. Right. Yeah. It's not, company destroying risk. But right now, I don't see any of those risks because what we're seeing is the opposite. We're seeing them announce bigger and bigger contracts. Their order book is rock solid and it's much bigger than before. And I just think this buys them, they have a lot of visibility on revenues for next year. In fact, I think there might be, future surprises in terms of upside risk to forecasts, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, I think the company might surprise on the upside on the revenues in the coming year or so. And then more importantly, this agreement, which a peer, got into, it cements it for me. I look at that and I see the future potential of much larger agreements and broader relationships struck with, as you can see, pharma is very interested in this space. And they're talking to all of those pharma companies. I mean, they have agreements across the board with all these large pharma companies.
I like it. Yes, I like it. I mean, the thing is, at the moment, the trend's good. It's a good trend in the share price, but I'd like to cool off a little bit more and, I'd buy the dip, but no, I like the area, I like the company, I like the valuation, and yeah, there's potential there. So COG, marvellous stuff. Vadim, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week-y.
Thanks, Justin. Speak soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, thank you.
As we speak right now, I've noticed there's a bit of bearishness around, and I have a chart. I have a chart for software I subscribe to, and I get alerts. I set up alerts, and one of them popped up today. It doesn't pop up very often, and it's called the VIX index. It's called the volatility index, and essentially, it's an inverse play on the markets. So when the markets are rallying, this is down, you know, and when the markets start selling off, this starts to go up. And I had what's called the relative strength index pick up and hit over 70, which is overbought. And I've not seen this level since March. So that means March, of course, we know what happened in March, the big dash for cash, everyone sold off, in all the markets sold off, even gold sold off, which is nuts because people just wanted cash. Well, we are now at a level. We're at 72, which is above the last spike in 3rd of September. But going back to the previous one above 72 was like in March. And of course, we've got lots of things coming happening at the moment. We've got infection rates going up, presidential elections happening. And do you know what, John? I don't know what your thoughts are on COVID. And a lot of me thinks we can't shut the entire economy down. We know who the vulnerable groups are. But I was reading some reports on the BBC last night about NHS staff. And now a lot of them are suffering anxiety from the first wave, and they don't want to go into ICU. And so, they are worrying. We've got to look at that, haven't we? So there's a lot of bearishness around, isn't it, at the moment? And even the American markets are selling off again, you know? So it's a bit worrying. But for the long-term investor who have conviction stocks, who, you know, are not overexposed, I believe these kind of sell-offs are an opportunity, don't you?
Well, yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say that inflation is coming our way, and probably more inflation than many people expect, particularly with the Chinese strengthening their currency. And they've done that through tinkering around with the deposit ratios required for certain types of currency trading. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll continue to do that because they have this agenda of making the renminbi a global reserve currency. And you know, this along with perhaps a view that the dollar is likely to weaken, although the dollar strengthened a bit overnight, the view seems to be amongst money managers that the dollar now is going to weaken for a bit. And certainly the US economy is not looking as strong as the Chinese economy right now. And that indicates that the renminbi goes up a bit and actually the US dollar probably slides a little bit more. And this is quite good for metals prices. We see that gold prices are holding relatively steady. In fact, they firmed a bit to 1,907 overnight. Copper prices rose. They're at 6,820, which is, you know, these are quite good price levels. And the mining industry has been cutting its costs in recent years. So their margins are getting better. And if you consider that combined with much lower fuel costs is a double, a triple whammy in the favor of these companies. And as you say, the market softened a bit. It's not been so bad for the mining companies because I think they're much more in vogue and in favor with the investors than they have been for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But I must admit, any market softening means that the equity prices are just more attractive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we're going to have, you know, like we've seen these infection rates going up. And that's worrying a lot of people. And say, you know, if it keeps happening, then more areas in the UK, in fact, around the world, we'll probably have to go into stricter lockdowns. We've seen it in Europe. We're probably going to see it in parts of America. And that combined with the American elections. I know Trump is out there promising more stimulus. But the thing is, if you look at it, then there's a lot of people saying he won't win. So I don't know how he's going to get the more stimulus through if he doesn't win the elections. And he's way behind in the polls. And I know he was before with Hillary Clinton, but not as much as this. And we are literally 6 days away from the election. So we've got a lot of uncertainty coming our way, you know, as far as how far the infection rates are going to rise, how many people are going to be infected, how many places will be locked down into tier 2 and tier 3, and also who's going to win the American elections. But like I said, you know, we know one of them's going to be out of the way within 6 days.
It's the infection rate then, and hopefully we'll get some positive data on vaccines, the next month or so. So we have a window here, I think, of uncertainty, which again, you know, as far as from an investor's point of view, could be beneficial, you know. And like I said, it's that thing with stock markets, John, it's about emotion, isn't it? When the fear's out there, like I said, when it's high fear, then that's the time to take advantage, you know. If you see a company that's going to be producing something that's going to be worth this much, then you think, well, hang on, think 12 months down the line. That's what we should be thinking, really, shouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not going to try and forecast who's going to win the American election, but I think the major issues that are in the world at the moment are going to remain. Clearly, the coronavirus is the dominant issue there. I think the US is likely to agree to more stimulus, whoever wins the election. It's always possible that there may be more infighting between the Republicans and the Democrats, but the Americans have this amazing political system in where they kind of get together and get things done. There's a lot less infighting between normally there's a lot less infighting between the two parties than there is than we see in the UK. And so actually whilst they have a bit of pork barrel politics, normally they do pull together. It's because to be seen as not pushing things forwards is unpatriotic, and the thing you don't want to be seen as in the US as doing is being unpatriotic.
Saying that though, one of those, I heard Biden saying it quite a few times, and I agree with it. Trump is the first president ever to be more divisive than try and pull the American people together. And him and Nancy Pelosi have been at loggerheads all the time. They cannot agree anything, it seems. There's a bunch of kids. But anyway, let's move on, John, to individual company news. What's out there?
Well, for people who are interested in gold and gold stocks with a growth trajectory, Alta Strategies, one of our corporate clients, produced very good metallurgical results for its Diba project in Mali. So they've got 95.8% recovery for oxide material, 94.5% at the coarser fraction, and 98% if they use cyanide for the processing. So really, really good results, even on the sulfide material. So I know I'm getting a bit technical here, but often you've got oxide material at the top and the sulfide material underneath, which hasn't been oxidized by, let's say, the water table. Even that material gives 87% recovery rate. So that's very, very good news for a company that's looking to develop a gold project. Maybe they'll develop it, maybe they'll sell it on. Either way, the recovery rates are fantastic news, and we like to see this sort of thing. I mean, we've been backing Alta Strategies for some years, and it's taken them a while to get here, and the valuation at £42 million is not demanding when you consider the scale and the grade of this project. So it's all looking pretty good there.
Marvellous stuff. Altus there. Anything else to say, John?
Well, we saw Charat Gold come out with the third quarter results. Gross production of 8,000 ounces. That's better than Q1. Quite a lot of silver coming out as well, 150,000 ounces there. And copper and zinc too. So this is looking more and more interesting. And it's highly leveraged to the gold price, but that's what you want when the gold price is up at over $1,900 an ounce. You know, it's a company that it should continue to do well.
Yeah, cool. And I saw some M&A activity, the Kaz Minerals. What's the deal there? Did you look at that at all?
Yeah, Kaz Minerals is a £3 billion offer to buy the company from Nova Resources. So that's been agreed by directors on both sides. And that's a 12% premium to the Kaz Minerals share price. So it's lovely to see this sort of M&A activity in the market.
What does it signify? Yeah, when you get a bit of M&A, what does it signify generally?
Well, it generally says that valuations in the market are too cheap and other people see more value, so they come in and buy the assets. So that's what it tells us, and actually it puts cash into the market. So that's always good. It always gives everything else a bit of a lift.
Yeah. Some news out from Empire Metals as well, wasn't there?
Empire, some first assay results of their Eclipse project in Western Australia. That's in the Kalgoorlie region, which is famous for all sorts of things. Mainly famous for its bars, but also famous for its massive gold super pit, which I think you can see from space. If you're lucky enough to be one of the new space tourists, you'll be able to look down on Australia and see the hole in the ground there. But Empire, the first drill hole, the first assay that's reported, gives us 14 meters or within the drill hole at 2.57 grams a ton of gold, and within that there's a 4 meter section of 5 grams a ton, and that's very nice actually. That's a really good start to a drill program. It's a company where there's been a bit of a restructuring going on. Empire shareholders are going to get stock in another business because they're selling the Georgian assets onto this other company, which has a Mexican gold and silver project, and so that company, so Empire shareholders will get stock in that company, and that company will have the financial resources to, shall we say, I think, put more to proceed with progress the assets in Georgia and continue to put pressure on the Georgian government to
get on with it
for the creation of value there. Get on with it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, look, I'm a big fan of those assets in Georgia. It's all been locked up for a while because of the Russian partners and the Georgian government. And I wouldn't blame the Georgian government. I'd really put the blame on the Russian partners. But I do think there's value in there to be gained. And I think Empire, you know, it's nice that Empire hopefully will have a decent looking gold project in Australia as well. So, look, sometimes it's important to move on a bit, but I think it's a good solution. It's very clever of the management team to come through with this.
Yeah. Where do you see gold in 6 months' time, higher or lower?
Given the way the world's going at the moment, I see the gold prices higher. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as Goldman Sachs as some others, but
What do they say?
I think they were looking at, correct me if I'm wrong, $2,300 an ounce.
Okay. I've seen some people say $3,000. I mean, obviously they built the gold bulls just trying to say that to be right. But you never know, do you? I mean, I think this pandemic is going to have a big effect for a long time on economies. Yes, there'll be a lot of stimulus happening, you know, for a long time.
Well, look, if the pandemic was kind of over today, then they would be raising taxes and we'd all be paying for the cost of the stimulus. As it stands, as the pandemic continues, the cost becomes more and more difficult to pay for. So the more difficult it becomes, the more likely the government is to just have to print cash.
Yeah.
Because if they raise taxes now, they really will kill the economy. And I don't believe that Rishi Sunak is anything like stupid enough to do that. I think he'll tread a fine line. I think there'll be some taxes will be raised in certain areas. I don't think he's going to risk killing the economy. Otherwise, that's completely counterproductive. And many of the policymakers know that, frankly. And Boris Johnson is definitely liberally minded. He's known as a liberal by people who do business with him.
I don't think Boris is scared of debt. I mean, if anything, the Chancellor may be more scared of debt, but I don't think he's a bit like Trump in that demand. You've got to start, the sun's got to start shining, isn't it, before you start making the hay, you know? The sun is not shining. I don't know if you hear outside. It's been tipping down just now. As you were talking there, hammering down, but literally, I think that's quite symbolic. The sun isn't going to shine for a while as far as the economy is concerned, so I think you can't start raising taxes until that happens, can they, really, you know?
Well, it's nice to know it's raining liquidity in your area, but London is looking very nice and dry today.
Oh, there we are. Lovely stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week.
Look forward to it.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Aston Martin, Lagonda, of course, I think Merck's taking a big stake in those. In fact, on the markets at five. That's down. No, it's not. On the markets is six. I apologise. In fact, I just bought some on the market. I topped up, down 7%. And I say, days like these, to me, if you're a long-term holder, it's a chance to top up. At five,
Aston Martin Lagonda, Mercedes hitting stake there. That's up 5% at 57.25. At four, Remote Monitored Systems, RMS, took down 4.5%, 2.1. At three, Metals Exploration, down 24%, 2.35. At two, Novasight, down 8% to 905. And at one, Rolls-Royce Holdings. Is that right? Down 57%? It's showing down 55%. The news there is what? Admission of nil paid rights? Don't know what that means, but... I see, yes. That was the fundraiser they were doing. Okay. All right. Okay. Top five most liked RNSs today are as follows. At five is GlaxoSmithKline. Sanofi and GSK support COVAX 200 million vaccine doses. Wow. At four, Tizian Life Sciences, demerger of Stem Printer. At three, i3 Energy, Toscana Energy receipt of shareholder approval. At two, Silvana Platinum, first quarter report to 30 September 2020. And at one, Tech Capital, Lucid Patents there, or patents. Depends how you say it. If you say it correctly, it's patents. If you say it like me, it's patents. Lucid receives notice of allowance for IoT utility patent and 13 design patents. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.